incredible speeds, okay, they can run. So they give this deer this salt, and this deer forgets about everything else that's going on except getting the water. So he forgets about enemies. He forgets about this little bushman that's trailing behind him, right? And he goes straight for water. He doesn't think about anything else. And so Grant, when we were talking about this yesterday, said, hey, even before I was a Christian, I knew that this was how the bushmen in South Africa found water. And then all of a sudden I read Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, is a whole new meaning, okay, for what that means. Instead of, hey, I just got a thirsty deer, okay, I've got a deer that is doesn't have any other focus in his life other than to go find water. And so as you make observations of the scriptures, okay, metaphors and things like that are gonna come out and it's gonna bring the scripture to life. And so some of the words, tears, right? Thirst, pour out my soul, despair, waves are running over me. All those things you kind of see. So you make the observation that this guy is not in a good place. Okay, you make the observation that he is away from the temple and from Jerusalem, which is his home, where he used to be a worship leader, right? He says, I used to lead the throngs in a festival of people. And so he was a guy, okay, that used to be a big deal, and now he is exiled, okay, from that job that he used to have and from the central place of worship of the Hebrew people. And so it's just as we're talking and we're learning about Psalm 42, we also want to make great observations about that. And so that's how we do. What do you see in the passage? And then you go to the second part of Bible study, and it's interpretation. What does this thing mean? Okay, what does it say to me? And so hopefully in your workbook, you started answering some of those questions that you had in the observations, and you figured out that the psalmist is probably at Mount Hermon, okay, that he had previously led worship in the temple, that he's now, there's a couple of things in there that say, hey, I was exiled, there are enemies that are taunting me, that are saying, where is your God? Okay, there are, he says, troubles that are cascading upon me like standing under a waterfall. So how many of you have ever, okay, on vacation, going to these really pretty places, have seen a waterfall and said, oh, I'm just gonna go cool off and I'm gonna get under that raging waterfall. And you think it's gonna be cool and refreshing, and you get under there and it beats you up, okay? Some of us have done that. And so he's just saying, hey, I've been under one of these waterfalls before and troubles are pouring over me time and time and time again. And so here's what we've got. We've got the writer of this psalm is, however you want to say it, bummed out, depressed, okay, because of what has gone on in his life. So he has pulled away and he has written this prayer, or he has written this song to describe the circumstances that he is in. So the summary statement of what does it mean is this. It's a desperate plea for intimacy with God when circumstances are different than expected. I'm gonna say it again. So it's a desperate plea for intimacy with God when circumstances are different than what's expected. And so that's what you need to know about Psalm 42. How does this help me live between what I believe, God's sovereign, God's good, and the reality that life is hard? This is a place you go when your heart is despairing because things have turned out different than what you thought was gonna happen. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And so why God gave us the Psalms is to use them whenever our life matches with what's going on in the psalm. So make a mental note, write in your Bible, do something next to Psalm 42 that says, hey, when things aren't going the way I think they should, read this. Okay, Trish and I have got a deal going on. We've been had it going on for 2 or 2.5 years. We've got a kid, okay, that has an autoimmune illness that we can't fix, okay, that we can't solve, that we can't get a handle on. And we've talked to countless people and countless doctors, and we're managing it and working with it, and we're trying all these things, but we don't have answers, right? And that's a bummer, right? All of us in here have things going on, whether it's death, whether it's disease, whether it's kid problems. You've got wayward kids. I don't know what it is. Okay, but when those things start to overwhelm you, read Psalm 42. Because let me tell you, we're going to talk about four applications, okay, that you ought to remember from Psalm 42. These are the things that Psalm 42 teaches. So as we did observation, interpretation, we figure out what it means. Now let's talk about how we apply these to our lives. And so let me tell you first, the Psalms in general, but specifically Psalm 42 gives you permission to wrestle with God. God can handle your anger, your frustration, your disappointment, your desperation, your hard-heartedness, your apathy, whatever that is, he can handle it. And I don't know what it is for a lot of us, whether we think God doesn't know what's really going on in our heart, so we're not going to talk about it. Or maybe we're thinking we can hide, or we're thinking that it's not gonna mean anything, God's not gonna do anything, he's not in our court. But we have to start wrestling with God on when our heart is in turmoil. JP did a great message 2 or 3 weeks ago where he talked about just keep banging on the door in prayer and be passionate and tell God what you want. And you finish those prayers with, hey, God, I want what's your will more than anything else, but let me tell you what I'm feeling, right? Here's what I'm feeling, I'm hurting. And so Psalm 42 tells you, you can honestly wrestle with the God of the universe and he can handle it. And so I think that's a challenge for all of us, is that are we totally and completely honest and transparent with the God of the universe? And so that's principle number one. So when you're despairing because circumstances not working out like you think they should, it's okay to be honest and to wrestle with God. The second one is, in this world, you are going to have trouble. Okay, Jesus in John 16:33 says, he's telling the disciples, I tell you this so that you will have peace. For in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus just declares it, okay? If you walk with me, if you live on planet Earth, you are going to have trouble. And so what I wanna tell you is, don't be surprised when hard things come your way. Don't be surprised. But what you can do is you can begin now to prepare for when hard things are coming your way. And so there's a couple of ways to do that. So the first is, and you hear us talk about all the time, I won't go into it very much, but you have got to be building deep relationships with people in your life that when troubles come, you've got an army that's coming to help you. We've got a situation right now with a family that's in the hospital here in Plano. And I am telling you, I went up there Friday morning and there was an army of Watermark people up there. They didn't need a pastor. They had all their small group people that were there and asking questions. And at the same time, the hard things were happening. The washer was going out and all that kind of stuff. And folks are saying, I got it. And so one of the best things you can do to prepare for a Psalm 42 circumstance is make sure you're living life deeply with folks who will come to your rescue. when you hit those hard times. The second thing is you want to begin to role play hard things, okay, in your brain. So we used to role play all the time with our kids to get them ready to, Trisha did a great job of, hey, when it's time to leave the park, we're gonna give you a 5-minute warning and here's how we want you to leave, right? And so you're gonna come up and you're gonna grab mom and dad's hand and we're gonna walk to the car and all's gonna be hunky-dory. It happened 1 out of 10 times, okay? But role playing, okay, is really important, and it's really important to role play in your head. So I do this a lot. So here's mine. I think before too long, I don't know how many years, 5 or 10 years, I may be in jail because of what I believe. Okay, it's just a reality, right, that's coming our way. And so I role play in my brain, okay, whatever police, government officials come into my house, take me away, put handcuffs on me, and throw me in jail for some season. How am I gonna respond and be Christ's man in that situation? Right, it was Paul before King Agrippa in Acts 26. How am I gonna respond? How am I gonna respond, okay, if my daughter, okay, doesn't get well and we fight this thing for the next 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 years? How am I gonna respond to that? And so there's preparation that you can do now that can be ready for troubled, difficult times. Third principle or third application is you need to learn how to rehearse God's victories. Or another way to say that is to preach to yourself the truth about what we believe. And so when hard times are coming, you start thinking back, okay, what has God done in my life previously that tells me that I can trust him? And so question, okay, how, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have a list either in your journal or on paper of God's memorial things that he has done in your life to prove his existence? Do you have it in writing? Do you have it in your brain? But when hard things come, there ought to be a list where you go back and you say, Trish and I and 3 daughters under the age of 2 and a half had no money. And by God's grace, we got a Suburban. When I was 15 years old and my dad took off, we had no money for Christmas. 3 Christmases in a row, we found an envelope with $500 in it. We have no idea to this day where that came from. But we got to have Christmas. Man, make that list. Pull it out often and remember when hard times hit, hey God, this is what you have done in my life. And folks, this is where faith, this is where the struggle happens. This is where the rubber meets the road of our life. Because what happens, hard times hit and our feelings and our brain starts going the wrong direction, right? And it starts going down this what if, and we pre-live circumstances. And so this is where you do business with God, because the scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you cannot see. And so when you're in those moments where you're starting to pre-live what might happen, okay, you've got to do battle right then. So this is flesh versus spirit, darkness versus light. That's where that happens. And so this is a training, this is a skill that you learn to catch your head and your heart going down a wrong path and stop and say, I'm going to do battle right here, because I'm going the wrong direction. And so that's having verses memorized. That's having a list of all the great things that God has done in your life that reminds you of his goodness. That's what I mean when I say rehearse God's victories. Preach to yourself. Because when you're in despair, when circumstances are hard, you've got to have an action plan for what am I going to do? And it's helpful to say it out loud. to talk to your spouse, to talk to your community, to talk to your friends. Hey, I remember the time when God, boom, 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 boom. I am not alone. Okay, God is with me. He won't ever leave me. When I am faithless, he remains faithful, Timothy says. And so we have got to learn how to rehearse God's victories. And that's exactly what happens in Psalm 42. And those verses that are repeated almost exactly in 5 and 11 and 3 and 10, he's coming back and he's saying, oh yeah, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. And he's preaching to himself. He's commanding his soul to line up with what God says is true. And so that's the third one. Rehearse God's victories. Preach to yourself. That's when the wrestling takes place. 2 Corinthians 5:7 talks by we walk by faith in what God has done, not by what we see. Not what's really going on. We walk by what we believe. And then the last one, cheesy way to say it, hopefully it'll stick, is in your deepest despair, God is there. Just a reminder, hey, God won't ever leave you. In verse 8 of the Psalm, it says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, his song will be with me in the night. And that term, I talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago when I taught. That term is H-E-S-E-D or hesed. And it, loving kindness is kind of a, from my perspective, is kind of a weak translation of that word. And what it means is God's covenant faithfulness. Because I said I am gonna do this, I am going to do this. And so what he's saying, verse 8, the Lord will he is gonna command his loving kindness to be with you. He's gonna command it, he's gonna send it with strength to you if we will just listen and pay attention to what's going on. And so those are, as I observed, interpreted, and then I started to just pull out principles and apply, that's what I came up with out of Psalm 42. So now I've got this, is in a file, I've got in my brain, whatever circumstances aren't going my way, hey, I go read Psalm 42 because the psalmist teaches me how to live, how to have faith, how to do battle, okay, in the midst of really difficult and different circumstances. And so let's talk about the last part quickly. And so those are the applications. Also in your notebook, there's a second section that talks about transformation. Okay, what is the transformation? So here's the opportunity you have now that you have studied Psalm 42. Okay, how are you gonna love the people, okay, that are in despair or in distress? How are you gonna do that? And so let me tell you what we need at Watermark Plano. We need folks that somebody's in the hospital, somebody has a sick child, somebody has lost a family member that can step into that situation, okay, without that being awkward, without being fearful of saying the wrong thing, okay, and just knowing how to shepherd and take care of people in the midst of that. That's what we need. And so you need to know that when you step into a situation like that, there's usually three circumstances, okay, that you're stepping into. And one is that you are stepping into a situation where the circumstances are beyond that person's control. Like if there's a death in the family, if there's a sickness, if there's something like that going on, it's no fault of their own, it's just life in a broken and fallen world. And so I don't know how many of you listened to Blake Holmes' message on this probably about 4 or 5 months ago, but how to help people in the midst of difficult circumstances. Please go back and read it or go back and watch it because it's gonna give you three great points. I'm gonna hit them real quickly right here, but you need to know this, okay? Whenever somebody is going through difficult circumstances that they didn't expect, the first thing you need to do is show up, okay? Show up. Just be present. There is a ministry of presence, that your presence is important. The second one is resist the urge to say something profound. Okay? Your presence speaks words like, hey, I'm here for you. I want to help. I'll do whatever you need. All of that. And the third thing from Blake's message that he gave was, hey, see a need and meet it. Don't ask, what can I do? So in the situation we're in the middle of right now, there's a washing machine that's down at our friend's house that is in the hospital. Craigslist, right? $50. Find a truck, buy one, pick it up, take it to the house. If it ends up blowing up in 2 weeks, okay, you do another one, right? But how can you see a need and meet it when folks are in circumstances beyond their control? Secondly, is sometimes when people are in despair, it's because they've got hidden sin in their life. Okay, they are living with secrets and mysteries that they are unwilling to this point to confess. And 1 John 1:7-9 just basically says this. It says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're gonna step into some situations where people are in despair, and it's because they are not living in the light. And so your counsel to them, 1 John 1:7-9, it will totally transform your relationships with each other. And if you will confess and come into the light, it will set you free. And so know that when you step into the situations and then you talk to them about what's next, is it regen, is it re-engage? What is it that kind of helps them get through that? So you're gonna step into situations where folks don't have any control over their circumstances, times when they have made decisions, okay, because that have put them where they have hidden sin. And the third one is just strictly their soul is overwhelmed. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I've had three men call me in the last month who have basically said, I was in the floor of my house, curled up in a fetal position, crying uncontrollably, and I had no idea what was going on. And so I've met with all three of those guys, and I've said, hey, well, tell me about your life. Tell me what's going on. Two of the three have children in preschool ages. Okay, that's one sign. Okay, they have incredibly demanding jobs. Okay, there's sickness in extended family or something like that. And so as we go through and we talk through these stories, what we find is, hey, the circumstances of your life are heavier than your soul can support. And you have imploded and you're stressed out and anxiety dominates your life and you can't take it anymore. Folks, this is epidemic in our culture, is that we are saying yes to so many things that our soul is being overwhelmed by the activity we are saying yes to. And it leads to burnout, it leads to depression, it leads to anxiety, to the point where if you don't take care of it, your soul can implode. Now, the great news is God gives us the answer to that, right? But it's not easy, it's hard stuff. It's we gotta take some stuff off the top and we've gotta build the foundation, we've gotta build the soul. Proverbs 4:23 just says, above all else, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. So here's what we need. We need an army of people that can step into hidden sin, tough circumstances where souls are overwhelmed and say, hey, I've got an answer, or I don't have an answer. The scriptures have an answer. Jesus has an answer for you, and he can transform your life and set you free. So Psalm 42, it's a desperate plea for intimacy when things aren't going the way that you think they should. Read it, learn it, study it, use it when you're overwhelmed, and then take it to other people and help them find freedom in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Psalm 42. And when I first got it, I was like, ah, bummer. Father, I want something fun and exciting and cool. And yet, as you always do, as I studied your word, I fell in love with the Psalm. Father, in what it does and what it communicates. And so thank you for your word and how it guides us in all circumstances. And so, Father, would you make us great for your kingdom? Would you mature us? Would you help us to be men and women who handle rightly the word of truth, who can take God's word to the world outside of these walls and bring freedom and help and support and care and love and all of those things that your scripture talks about. We want to be those people. So now, Lord, as we sit around the table, as we talk about Psalm 42, about what we learned, would you transform us? We don't want to be smarter sinners. We want to be more like your son, Jesus. And only you can do that by the power of your spirit. And we pray it in his name. Amen. So you guys will just jump into your small groups. If y'all don't know, there's some yellow sheets on there that have questions for you to talk through. I am not a guy that says, hey, you have to get through all the questions. If you get to one or two and you guys live right there, awesome. And we'll be back up a few minutes before we end and do a little more application.
All right, so let's turn our attention this way as we get ready to kind of close our time out together. Just awesome, awesome learning tonight and good discussion. So thanks everybody for diving into that. One of the things, you know, we've been saying that we also want to do is just hear from a variety of people throughout the study here, the body of Christ in general, of creative ways that different people approach their time with the Lord, because based on our temperaments, our personalities, our schedules, the season of life, you know, the way we connect with the Lord looks different. And so what we don't want to walk away with in a study like this is feeling like it has to look a certain way all the time. That is not true. And so we've really enjoyed hearing some ways in which people connect. So tonight what we're going to do is ask our friends Jason and Kylan Fisher to come, and well, I'll give you the mic down here in a minute, to share just a little bit about how they each connect with the Lord in some creative ways. And just let you know, Jason is on board as a resident here at the Plano campus with Watermark's residency program, which is awesome. And he has, yep, let's give it up for him. and it's great to get to know Kylan as we dive into ministry together. And he is working with us on the equipping team and has been with Bucks, which is Brothers Under Christ. It's a fraternity that works on the college campuses and doing a lot of ministry there over the past year. So we're really, really blessed to have him join us. So why don't you guys pop up and let us know how you are able to connect with the Lord.
Yeah, I would want to probably preface with I am on the equipping team for a reason. So I love like learning. And so like I have to work at not being a smarter sinner. That's a big thing for me. And so just to kind of preface, one thing I bought or I got for Christmas last Christmas was the Journaling Bible by the ESV group. And it is awesome for me to be able to write right next to the scriptures what I'm feeling. And like I got about 35,000 question marks. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing right here. I'm going to get back to it. And so those kind of things have been really helpful for me just to process as I'm going through. And I've liked it so much that I bought my wife one. So that's just one thing that's been really helpful for me. But I do a thing right now this past year. I call it kind of the breadth and depth thing for me. So I am in one part of my quiet time in the mornings, I flip on like the ESV app and there's a theme here. I love the ESV. But I flip on the app and have this guy read the Bible. I'm reading the Bible through a year, but I'm having him read it over me as I'm following through. And so one thing, it helps me not like be unfocused and like see the birds and like just get distracted and stuff. I just sit there and he reads it to me, and I go through it and try and see what the Lord's doing from Genesis to Revelation in this year, and just try and catch some little things, but like not try and go too terribly deep, because then I go over to Join the Journey. Love it. You should get on board. We just started Luke and it's amazing. But then I go and I partner with a commentary. And so I'm actually reading a commentary on Luke right now and like just absolutely loving it. You don't rely on commentaries. They're not the same as scripture, but it is really helpful for me to go through the observation, application, transformation, then going to the commentary and seeing some things that I might not have seen. And so I like being an intellectual guy. I about jump out of my chair reading some of this stuff, and this could be a dry commentary. But in some of those I think it's on page 2 or 3. There's a thing called Sonic Light, and it's free commentary, so you don't have to buy these things. It's all free. And so one thing that is really, really helpful for me is the intros to the beginning. So if I plop down in Isaiah, I'm not like, well, I just know his name's Isaiah, and then I'm just going to read through. That's probably not going to be helpful for you. It gives you a little bit more confidence to go see those intros, and they'll probably frame the book in a way where you can address it with some more confidence maybe than just like, oh, I'm just going to plop down here. I don't really know where I'm at or what's going on. But I'm just going to kind of read. I don't think that can be as helpful. So that can give you some free ways to kind of give you some confidence. So, yeah.
I'm going to preface it with, I am not as studious as he is. That is not my personality at all. And I'm definitely not a morning person either. So where he's getting up, you know, before it gets light out, I will not. the way I do it, my consistency, I try to just make sure I'm doing it every day. My creativity is doing different studies, actually. So like right now I'm in 4 different studies, and I just kind of vary the days. And probably the thing that helps me the most is a curriculum, to be honest. I'm not one to take in big chunks of scripture and just be like, wow, that was the most wonderful, you know, breathtaking, enlightening thing I've ever read, because I'll forget it in about 20 minutes. So I use a curriculum. I have study books. Like our community group girls are going through a James study. We're doing a study through a Nancy Guthrie book. And then I'm also doing Join the Journey on my own. And so I just like to have a curriculum and then community around me to talk to, because I don't learn very well by just reading and then moving on. I actually have to talk about it, live it out, repeat it again, you know, like 4 minutes later. And so that is what really gets me going. And it's in the evenings. It's always when I get home from work. I try to read The Journey as I park at work, so that I can try to be thinking about something during the day. But yeah, my study time is definitely not in the morning. So I don't know if anybody's like me, but I don't do mornings, and we've tried that. It doesn't work for me. So.
Yeah, and one thing just to kind of add on is that's been really, really helpful for us like the past like 6 weeks. We're not killing it yet, but this is something that we've kind of recently started was one thing that I thought right before we got married. I'm in ministry and like kind of that spiritual guy, and like I read my Bible all the time. Like that's my thing. I was like, spiritual leadership with my wife, that's going to be pretty easy. The other things are going to be difficult. But that's been the hardest thing in our marriage is for me to step up and lead well in that realm. So this past 6 weeks, we've been going through this book and together on the weekends. It's not something crazy difficult, but it's something on the weekends where we get to have time together, struggle through things, ask questions. I don't think you're crazy whenever she says something. Or like she looks at me, like I say something and she looks at me like I have 5 heads. Like we just like, we struggle in the scriptures together is a unifying thing for us. And it's been really, really sweet. And we also do it right before Sunday morning service. So we kind of get primed. I think Kyle mentioned that when he was teaching on worship, kind of priming yourself before you get there on Sunday mornings has been awesome. I worship differently because we've been in the scriptures together as a couple, and that's been transformational. We've loved doing that. So, yeah.
Thanks, you guys, so much. Thank you. All right, so this coming week, we will be in Psalm 46, which is on page 18. And again, just to point out that there are more psalms in this booklet than we're going to cover during our time together this summer, and that's designed so that you guys can really dive in and apply this with more psalms than our 6 weeks covers. But we'll be in Psalm 46, and this is a really, really excellent psalm to really dive into the concept that Kyle was talking about and we've repeated, which is you know, life is difficult, but God is good. And so this theme, you'll see there's talk in here about the nations raging, God being exalted among the nations, and especially as we look at our times that we live in and what's happening around us. It doesn't take long in watching the news and talking with friends about political things and government things to get really discouraged and frustrated, but yet we can take confidence in the Lord that He is the God of all nations and He will be exalted, and we can be encouraged in that. And this psalm is a great one to dive into and really test our hearts on where we are in believing that and walking as we believe it as we face difficult things in our country that we really haven't seen in our generations. The objectives on page 18, again, just really want to challenge you. If there is a particular objective that you feel like really would be a good challenge for you, make sure you do it this week. I think objective number 2, which is each time you see the break, the Selah, take a deep breath and dwell on what was just said. I think for those of us who may rush through things or want to get on to the next piece or passage, this might be a really good challenge to just pause at those breaks, reflect on what was said, pray through that, and just ask the Lord to speak to your heart about what is in here for us. So, yeah, that's it. Everybody have a great week of worship, as we love to say at Watermark, and thanks so much.